Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Enduro Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ENDR and on the OTCQB under the symbol ENDMF. I am chatting with the President and CEO, Cole Evans. Now, we are going to follow up on a news release that came out on November 30th dealing with the company's flagship Newmont Lake property in the Golden Triangle. Now, this project did see some drilling this year. We're still waiting for a lot of those assay results to get back, but we have already had news from some of the assay results of continuing to hit some mineralization, both precious metals and also a relatively new copper discovery, this Burgundy Ridge area that we discussed mid-October. The news on the 30th deals with the final 4 million share payment to acquire 100% of this Newmont Lake project. This payment is to Romeo's Gold, and Romeo's does continue to hold a 2% net smelter royalty on the project. There is still $1 million of cash still to pay by pretty much the end of February. Cole, give us just an update here on now having pretty much 100% control of this Newmont Lake project. You guys have done a lot of work. You've made the payments. This is a big step for the company.
Yeah, absolutely, Corey. I mean, you kind of hit all the points for me. Yes, so that was our last share issuance to Romeo's. We still have the $1 million cash payment, which we'll make at the end of February, this coming February in 2022. So about 3 months' time, we'll have our entire 654 square kilometers 100% owned outright. Currently, about one third of it right now, we already have 100% ownership. And then two thirds of the property is from the option with Romeo's. So once that cash payment is made in the whole deal, which finalizes the deal, we execute the NSR, as you mentioned, which is 2% that can be bought down to 1% for 4 million Canadian at any point in time. Then we'll have control of the land package. So very significant development for us. Of course, our shareholders have known this being in the process, but it's just continuing to move it down the line.
Now, in terms of the shares that Romeo's holds of the company, they are subject to some lockup restrictions. I'll post a link to the news release so everyone can read through those restrictions. But can you give us a little update on Romeo's Gold in terms of their general maybe cash position? People would want to know, are they just going to come and put these shares back into the market and sell them?
Great point, Corey. Yeah, so of the 4 million shares, 1 million is restricted for 6 months, 3 million is restricted for 12 months. So no, they can't go on and flip it. You know, Romeo's is doing well. They just brought a new president in, you know, in the last month or two, who have had a couple discussions with. Great guy, looking to be active with the company and move the projects that they have forward. So no, it's not something that they can just flip into the market, nor do we expect that. I think they just closed a small finance that was oversubscribed, so they've got cash in the till, and we don't foresee that being an issue.
So then, Cole, let's talk about the exploration, because as I mentioned, there is still a lot of core at the assay labs. Can you give us an update here? Approximately how many meters are at the labs, and approximately time-wise, when are you going to be getting some of those results back?
Yeah, so still over 6,000 meters at the, you know, that is pending. You know, I explained to you before our call here, kind of our third party data process, you know, trying to follow best practices. So it does take a while, but by the time we receive it internally on our end and do the interpretations and things, you know, I was telling people, hopefully it was by the end of January, we'd have everything back and out. You know, that would be in batches in that process, you know, more on Burgundy, more on McClymont, of course, following up on the 8.85 meters of 32 and a half grams gold and a percent copper that we drilled last year, along the McClymont fault. And then as well, the results from our first pass at the Chachi at Cuba area. And we also have grassroots work that we did. There's lots of stuff still to come, but we also have a bunch of grassroots work that we did in that area, continuing to develop it, that's pending. So point being, out of all that stuff, unfortunately, as you know, being in BC as well, with the floods and the, you know, terrible situation, people's homes and farms and livelihoods destroyed, as well as fatalities. But, you know, from the Enduro side of things on that, which is secondary, of course, but it's just put that process back, you know, another 3 to 4 weeks. So we've been told now we should have everything by hopefully the end of February. That's what I've been told, by the end of February, just with those delays logistically, and but with batches of results coming out up until that point.
Now, what is the big picture strategy here at this Newmont Lake project, now that you pretty much hold 100%, again, just that $1 million cash payment still to make? What do you want everybody to see this project as? Because you have drilled high-grade precious metals, but then also some copper as well.
Yeah, well, Corey, the way I look at it, it's a two-pronged approach. And just with what we know right now, I'm not going to factor in the eastern half of the property with Chachi and Cuba. Let's just leave that aside for a second, because that's another story. But if we look at McClymont and Burgundy, it's a two-pronged approach. McClymont, this represents your near-surface, high-grade gold. You know, of course, we haven't put out any, PEA or resource pre-feasibility studies or anything like that. So I just want to be, clear that what I'm saying is, what one can reasonably assume based on the information we have today is that this is your, near-term production-like material that, is within the same, tributary sense of where SNIP and SK and that whole networks that's developing on the southern end sits. Of course, it's 18 kilometers from the hydroelectric power plant. So really well positioned. So the way I look at it is that's sort of your worst case scenario is in, okay, over the next 18 months, we'll get that out to a current resource level. So that's factoring converting the historic drilling that was done there in the 80s into modern context, as well as the exploration discoveries that we've made, within the few hundred meters of that historic resource area. And that's sort of our backstop. Okay, we've got this. What though on the long term, because of course we're long term thinking people, in the 3 to 5 year term, that's what we need to be here for, is from that copper gold porphyry perspective. I'd make the argument to anyone that in particularly copper gold porphyries are, alkalic porphyries as we call them, are one of the most desirable, if not the most desirable deposit types in the world today. Just news from a few days ago that I was reading, you look at from the copper supply chain, right? Las Bambas in Peru, that's been okay now to blockaded. There's 2.2% of global copper production stopped there. So not only, we're in a world where copper production needs to be increasing, not with an already strapped supply chain pipeline, and then projects that are having political turmoil that are being shut down, significant ones. It's the perfect storm for copper. And BC is such an underexplored area from the copper perspective, because, traditionally it's always been looked at, when you're comparing to your supergene enriched deposits of South America, the copper content's not the same. And we know that, though the alkalic systems have some very high grade copper as well. You look at your Red Chris, your Galores, things like this. But it's the mix in why copper and gold are a story together for British Columbia. And it might not be super obvious today, though, I think a lot of people understand this, but as we continue to move forward, that will be the story for British Columbia. And Enduro, again, looking at our long term, is perfectly positioned to capitalize on that. When the door's knocking, we'll be ready with the resources that the miners need.
All right, Cole, can you also just update us on the cash position for the company as well? Understanding that, look, drilling's not happening right now, but next year when you can get on site, you're obviously going to want to get those drills turning as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So from a cash position right now, we got about $1.5 million in the bank. There's about another million in receivables, tax receivables, pending from 2020, and then what will be 2021, so our METSI tax credits. That will come trickling in over the next year. So yeah, no, we're positioned to like I said, make our $1 million cash payment, get moving in the field with our winter road setup. We want to be drilling, again, even earlier than we did this year. This past season was the earliest we ever got up to the property. We're going to be even earlier again this year, really max, or this coming year, I should say. I guess it's not the new year yet, but in a few weeks, this coming year, maximize our season and show people that, hey, even up at Burgundy, we can still operate drilling wise. We can still have 6 month drilling seasons up there. It's just all in the preparation and in knowing what we're getting into. We've done that now already. We're prepared, we know what to do, and now it's time to go execute again.
All right, Cole, we'll wrap it up here. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Cole regarding anything that's going on within Enduro Metals, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Enduro Metals, and we will be following up as more news hits the market. So, Cole, I appreciate the update, and keep us up to date on future news, please.
Always a pleasure, Corey.